First of all, I want to thank our friends Yocheved and Yehuda Dafna. We have very wonderful, warm, strong recollections, memories of our early events really taking place to a large extent in this room. And concerts and hilulas for the Eish Kodesh was a lot of what the shul was in the earlier times really happened here. It's a house that's filled with chesed and simcha and chassidus. So I want to give a bracha that I don't have my glass. I don't see where Yocheved is right now. So Yehuda is here, so he'll go with the bracha that Bez Hashem Yishev. In every room there should be only simcha, nachas, and bracha. The refuahs and yeshuas for all of us. Let me tell you what we're going to do. The pages that you received are very special. All Torah is special, but particularly close to my heart are the kutreis and the writings of a very, very special tzaddik and a dear friend of mine from Yerushalayim, who I was just zeichet to be together with 2 weeks ago, Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg. Some of you might have heard of the past few years in the summers I've been giving shiurim from his kutreisim, from his teachings. The shiurim on parenting, some of you are familiar with, the shiurim on simcha. This past summer I gave 9 shiurim on the subject of kinnah, of jealousy, of envy. Those haven't been reproduced yet, Mitzvah Shem, that'll be soon. And we've been learning the inyan of being dan l'kav zchus, of trying to judge a person favorably in a positive way, in a good way. And I told you that we're going to learn together how to work on the inyan. Now that we've learned some of the halachas, those of you that were here, we spoke about the halachas. We even spoke a little bit in the beginning about some of the hashkofas, some of the avoda. But really, really, to get down lemaisa, there's nothing that's, in my opinion, as simple, as clear, as straightforward, and as urgent as this sicha, or the sichas eschaskas of Reb Tzvi Meir. So we're going to learn parts of it. This is actually the 8th booklet on the subject of being dan l'kav zchus, and we're going to learn different parts over the next, hopefully, mitzvah over the next few months, to be able to really, really get into the inyan. And it's something that everybody can review. You'll see that it's not hard, but it gets right to the point. So if you look on page Zayin, where it starts, Ois Dalet, I dafka want to learn inside. Page Zayin, Ois Dalet. The Nachzer, we're just going straight into the paragraph, you don't have to read the heading. The Nachzer Bez Hashem Yisbar Sholos Yisaitis. We're going to review 3 fundamental, basic principles in this inyan of being dan l'kav zchus, of judging another person in a favorable way. Shidibana b'ktsar mamish, very quickly, k'en kan mokam l'harach b'yaisa, we're not going to speak out at length over here. Hayisod harishon, we're going to move very quickly. Hayisod harishon, the first basic principle in this area, shemida zu shal dan l'kav zchus, misayeya ma'oid ma'oid, l'schazeg ba'avodas Hashem, that when a person works on this midah of seeing good, of trying to see good and to think positively about another Jew, not only does that help in that particular area, but the tzaddik explains that it helps the person to strengthen his avodas Hashem, to strengthen his service of Hashem, b'chol ha'inyonim, in all areas of Yiddishkeit, hein ben adam l'chaveiro, in all of your relationships with other Jews, with all the mitzvahs between one Jew and another Jew, v'hein ben adam l'makom, and even in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person begins to develop a positive outlook, a favorable way of looking at other people, that, as we're going to learn, that opens up his eyes, it opens up his heart to be able to serve Hashem even in those mitzvahs that are lamakom between you and Hashem, and Shabbos and Kashrus, and all things that have to do with serving Hashem are affected by this. We're going to talk about that a lot. Hadibur, he says, let me just warn you, there's a lot of Yiddish, there are Yiddish words that are put in here and there. So he says, Hadibur nia yoyser edel. A person's way of speaking becomes more delicate, becomes more refined. V'chol ha'esnagus v'et edel. And the way that this person conducts himself, conducts herself, the way that you live, is more edel. It's more refined, more gentle. Hasina, hatred, akina, jealousy. Va'afil ha'atzlus v'ha'atzlus. Now we don't see how any of this is connected to, we don't see yet, how is this connected to v'idam l'kavsus. Even atzlus, which means laziness. Atzvus, which means depression, sadness. Kol zeh bo'machmash mezalzlim ba'achayim. All of this, hatred, jealousy, laziness, sadness, the tzaddik says all of this comes by having a negative way of looking at others. And we're going to explain that. We're going to talk about that, Mitzvah Shem, a lot. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Then he says, Hayisayid Hasheni. The second thing we're going to talk about, Mashav Muva Me'abal Shem Tev Ha'Toldus Me'amor Einayim, Rabbi Nachman Mary Breslov, Rabbi Nefesh HaChaim, Vod Tzaddikim. That these tzaddikim discussed. She'inyin zehuba mechelek ha'pchisus shel ha'yehudi. That means that this need that we have to, or this netiyah, this inclination that we have to see bad in other people and to judge people in a negative way, this comes from the pchisus of a Jew. This comes from the lowest part of who we are. In other words, the fact that I feel something is wrong with somebody else is the strongest indication that what? That there's something missing in my life. If I would be the person I'm supposed to be, I wouldn't see things wrong with other people. Or I would understand that perhaps that person has done something wrong, but as we've learned, I would try to see it in the best way possible and to help the person instead of looking at him in a negative way. And we're going to have to learn how to train ourselves. That the same way that a Jew knows that there are certain thoughts that are completely forbidden, and they're called machshav azaris. That a Jew is not allowed to think, God forbid, of idolatry. And a Jew is not allowed to think, chas v'shalom, disgusting thoughts. We're going to have to learn that to train ourselves, that to have such a thought about another Jew, to think negatively about a Jew, is also a machshav azar. In other words, it's a way of thinking that is completely unacceptable. And not only that, v'zeloy emes, and it's not even true. That's why you remember that at the beginning, those who were learning this together with us in the beginning, remember that the way that the Torah tells us this mitzvah is b'tzedek tishpot amisecha. That means you shall judge your friend. You shall judge your friend b'tzedek. What does it mean b'tzedek? So it really means truthfully, in a righteous way, but it means truthfully. So all of us think that for us to judge somebody in a nice way, it's not really being truthful. We just have to make up all these funny stories, like, you know, maybe the reason that she's late is because the alarm clock wasn't working. But in ourselves, when we say this, we think, it's not really true. It's just I'm doing this goofy thing to try to do the mitzvah of judging somebody favorably. That's the biggest mistake. The emes is judging favorably. That's emes, and we'll see why. That's the truth. To think positive thoughts about someone and to judge a person in a positive way, that's the emes. That's what the Torah says, the mitzvah, v'tzedek tishpat amisecha. Truthfully, honestly, you shall judge a Jew in an honest way. That means that when we see something negative in a person, that's being dishonest. And we're going to have to learn how. V'af ani ba'atzmi be'emes be'emes, eini machzikach. And we're going to learn that I myself, ani ba'atzmi, v'af ani ba'atzmi, be'emes be'emes, eini machzikach, means that the truth of the matter is that when I'm looking down upon that other person, I myself, bechlal, am not holding by that same thing that I'm judging the person for in a negative way. Some of you might have heard me tell this, or other people say this is well known. That the great tzaddikim, the two brothers, the holy Rebbe Reb Zushia and the Rebbe Elimelech, you probably have heard of them, and you know that they used to go in Golis. They would go hidden as plain people, and they went from town to town. They didn't sleep in the same place two nights. I once mentioned in shul that I saw in a sefer that was written still in the 19th century. I saw this in the library, that there was a sefer that the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Zushu in a certain town, they always slept one night, they never slept twice. And they would go bring many people back to Hashem. And they were once staying in a certain town, and they were trying to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, they were in the shul with all the poor people that used to sleep in the shul. And all of a sudden, the Rebbe Zushu sat up, and he started screaming. And the Rebbe Elimelech thought that he was having a nightmare. And the Rebbe Zushu started packing up his things, and he said, "We can't stay here. We have to leave. We can't sleep in this place." And Rabbi Elimelech said, "Why?" And Rabbi Zushi said, "Because the darkness here, the klipas, the impurity is so strong, we can't stay in this place." And I read this in the sefer, that was Ushpitzin. Ushpitzin is Auschwitz. And that was a mice that happened. I read in the sefer that was still written in the 1800s. That sefer. So you can't make that up, right? That is Ushpitzin. So these tzaddikim would go from town to town. So we know Now, this is the way that they used to bring many, many Jews back to Hashem. They would have the Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight, you know, there are special midnight tefillahs about the Churban Beis Hamikdash and so on, special tefillahs that tzaddikim say, and all of us should try to say once in a while. There's the Tikkun Rochel, the Tikkun Leah, some of you might know about it. So they would at midnight, they would say those special tefillahs. And how you boichem misvadim al kol ha'aveir she'osa bal ha'chsanya. And they would cry bitter tears over what? Over all of the aveiras that the person who was hosting them had done. Now that could be very uncomfortable. You have somebody over for Shabbos, right? You have somebody over as a guest. And in those days, you know, there are very thin walls and there are small places. And you're trying to go to sleep and you hear these people next door screaming about Aveiros, oy vey, gewalt, I did this, I did that. And it's everything you've ever done wrong in your entire life. And they're screaming about things and they were saying specific things. And what happened last Monday night, gewalt, gewalt. And the people, you know, that were hosting them would hear all of this and they would start to cry and they would do tshuva and they couldn't run. This was something that they did wherever they went. So how you broke him is vadam akol ha'veir she'osa bal achsanya. Was there is fakrochen ha'bal bayis is oira the next page chaz v'kol ha'bchiyas the other side v'shomer shahoy yumayin v'holchem kol ha'veir she'osa. The bal bayis, the owner of the house, would hear the tzaddikim crying over the aveiros that he himself was doing. V'nesayir al deizem ma'oid b'tshuva, and naturally that had a very strong effect upon the people to do tshuva. Then the Balabais would realize, boy, these are not regular people that came to me, that are staying by me, and they would come to Rabbi Elimelech and Rabbi Zushia and ask for a way how to come back to Hashem. And we have stories, we're told that there were thousands of Jews that the two brothers brought back to Hashem on these road trips that they took. Thousands of Jews. Now, Ukvadibainu kama pa'amim. You know what spiel is? It means a game. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. So to us, that sounds like a really neat thing. That these tzaddikim were able to read the minds of other people. And this is like an interesting way, a trick, a way of getting people to come and to break down and to admit their mistakes and to do tshuva. So the tzaddik says over here, chas v'shalom, God forbid. This isn't a spiel, this isn't a game. So then what was it? So listen to this. Rak shekishenichnesu ro'u ma'ashov ala balabayis. It's true that when the brothers would come to a place and they would look at the forehead of the, you know, the tzaddikim were able to look at the forehead to know the inner life of that person. So it's true that when the brothers would come, they would look at the balabayis and they would know his entire life. And they knew all of his aveiros, what he had done. There were once upon a time great Jews, righteous people who were able to see everything. From the top to the bottom of the person. But then what? This is the point. That when the brothers, when the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Zushi would see the mistakes, the faults on the forehead, inscribed on the forehead of the Balabayas of that person, they would see themselves as being guilty. In other words, when they were crying, it wasn't some sort of a trick that the Balabayas should wake up and hear this and say, oh, that's me. When the tzaddikim were crying, they were crying because they felt that they themselves were guilty of these things. Now, what does that mean? So he says, Ukamosha ha Rebbe, Rebbe Hirshel Zedichaga, kochtendem means he was cooking in this. It means it was burning inside of him, this Indian. Kimahu haya yaisetov, Rebbe Hirshel Zedichaga said that if I would really be better than the people that I'm with, la haya balabayas megila mashahigia, if I would be the way that I'm supposed to be, then that Balabayas never ever would have done those things. If each of us would do our share in being Jews and would live the way we're supposed to live, then what? Then the other Jews would not be able to fall into those places. There's a teaching here from the Baal Shem Tov. Now, this is based upon halacha. You know that the Kohen, in the time of the Torah, that the Kohen was responsible to go see when there was a person who had a nega, who had some sort of a blemish, either the house or the skin, right? The disease. And the Kohen would have to go, and it was up to the Kohen to decide whether or not the person, based upon the sickness, whether the person is impure or not. And then all the halachas in Parshas Tazriyim, etc., are very difficult to understand. The din is that a Kohen is not allowed to judge his own negayim. He can't be the judge of his own, even though it can be the most obvious case that it's pure or that it's not. A Kohen is not allowed to judge his own situation, his own predicament. Because why? Because the Gemara says, because there's a rule, that kol ha-negoyim adam roeh, all blemishes, all faults, all diseases, a person notices, he sees, chutz minigei atzmo, except you never see anything wrong with yourself. Now, on that halacha, the Baal Shem Tov taught, dahaynu kol ha-negoyim sh'adam roeh eitzel ha-shedi, kol ha-negoyim adam roeh. Whenever you see a nega, whenever you see something wrong with another Jew, the Baal Shem Tov taught, you should know that anybody kol ha-negoyim adam roeh, anything that you see in another person that's a nega, it means what? Chutz, that it's something that strikes you, that you see it. You should know that where does it come from? Min nigei atzmo. If you notice that in another person, it means that you yourself are blemished. The reason that you see something wrong with another person is because you have your own negoyim. It's because it's called negoyim adam roeh. All the negoyim that a person sees on other people, chutz, that he sees on the outside, it's minigei atzmo. It's your own nega. It's your own sickness. Because if you were living the way that you're supposed to live, then that other person, first of all, you wouldn't see that. If you inside of yourself were completely free of that, if you weren't at all diseased in that area, you bichlal wouldn't see it. On the other, you wouldn't see it. And not only that, but the other person would talk to be better. If you would be the person that you could be, that person who's come into your Dalat Amos, you see, there's a reason why we meet all the people in our life that we meet. There's a reason why. And if we are together in this Gilgul, in this present time around, most likely we've been together in earlier Gilgul in one way or the other. That's why they found it. That when you have the two people, let's say, are married in this Gilgul, it could be that in an earlier Gilgul this was a brother and a sister. It could be there was a parent and a child. They're all of these relationships that we have been going on generally for thousands of years. We know each other for a long time. It's not the Maisa. And there's a reason why the people that are in our little world, there's a reason why we've met these people and we're with these people, even if it's a casual meeting, even if it's somebody that you just met for a short while. There's a reason that you've met that person, and there's some sort of a tikkun that has to do between you and that individual, and therefore Therefore, if I would be the person that I'm supposed to be, that would have an impact upon all the people who are part of my kingdom, of my malchus. I spoke about this a lot, Shabbos Shuvah, those of you might remember, when I was discussing how my own particular avodah in my little corner of the world, how my avodah Hashem and my efforts in the slightest way to become a better person, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better mother and so on, a better child, that every single effort that I make in my own world has an impact upon other Jews. Can change, can uplift, can inspire other people, even if I don't talk to them. Therefore, when the Rebbe Zushi and his brother Rebbe Melech would come someplace, they would talk to see, when they looked at that Jew, they would see all of his faults. And then they would sit up at Chatzos and cry and say, what's the matter with us? Look where we're holding. But on some level, we're also guilty of this. It might not be. Of course, they weren't guilty in a physical way. In other words, if they saw that Balabayas had been Mechal Shabbos, had gone against Shabbos, certainly the Rebbe Zushi and Rebbe Melech didn't go against Shabbos. But I mentioned to you, I think in the first year, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was once terribly distraught because he was going someplace, he was walking on Shabbos to Shul, and he saw a Jew being Mechal Shabbos. There was a Jew that was desecrating the Shabbos. And the Baal Shem Tov was crying. What did I do? How could it be that I saw Chil Shabbos? And nowadays, we wouldn't even know what to make of that. Right? But the Baal Shem Tov in those days, in a town like Mezhbiz in Ukraine, it was a very odd thing that a Jew should not keep Shabbos. At least publicly, everybody kept Shabbos. So Baal Shem Tov was broken. Why did I see a Jew do this thing on Shabbos? And we're taught that the Baal Shem Tov went through the entire week in his head, and he realized that at some time earlier in the week, there was a certain Talmud Chacham, there was a scholar, that the Baal Shem Tov asked for a favor, and it was a little bit beneath the dignity of that scholar. And since in the Zohar, a Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos, every Talmud Chacham is called Shabbos, so the Baal Shem Tov said, because I misused a Talmud Chacham, it was beneath his dignity to have him do that, therefore Hashem is telling me, by my seeing Shabbos desecrated, that I myself have on some level, not the same way, God forbid, but on some level, I'm also desecrating Shabbos, on some level. So this is what the brothers would see. If I would be the way that I'm supposed to be, then the other person would also be different. If I would be pure, naki and clean, then that person would not fail, that person, the other person would not stumble. And if you see something wrong with another person, is it a simon that on some level you share in the guilt? Therefore, the Rebbe Reb Zushi weren't playing, and Rebbe Melech, they weren't playing a game to get this guy to do tshuva. The Rebbe Reb Zushi and Rebbe Melech were crying about their own imperfections. Again, it wasn't the exact same imperfection, but they were crying about how we're not the people we're supposed to be. If we would be the parents we're supposed to be, our kids would be the kids they're supposed to be. And if we would be the friends that we're supposed to be, our friends would be different. And if we would be the children we're supposed to be, then our parents, Uncle Zonsai, would be the way that they can be. And this is a very big yesod in emunah, in belief. And when they were crying over their own imperfections, the Baal HaBayis would hear this, and of course, he would realize that it was about himself, and he would do tshuva. This wasn't a game. The tzaddik says that from this story, Yeish lanu lilmod. So there's some printing mistakes here. Yeish lanu lilmod. We should learn nekuda yoyisra muka, a deeper point. Yeish bazar riches, and there's much to talk about. Of alain kan mokim laharich. We don't have time. He would say this. He didn't write this as a sefer. These were talks that he gave. Shul v'shul this time on Friday, Arab Shabbos. When I was there 2 weeks ago, so we'd have mincha 4 o'clock. We finished mincha 4:20. I didn't get back to the apartment until 9 o'clock, and it still wasn't over. Shul v'shul this. But my wife and I had to go to see Mishpacha, so I got a Mishabarach when I got back. It was very late, 9 o'clock. But from four, we had Shul HaShulis from 4:20, and it was still going strong. 9 o'clock, the singing in the dark, and the Tzimei is screaming and crying and learning. So these are all transcribed after the talks that he would give. We learn an amazing thing. Here you have two tzaddikim, the Rebbe Elimelech and the Rebbe Abzusha, that they had divine inspiration, and they're able to look at a person to know all of his aveiros. Grace of Madregas. We're talking about people of Madregas Gedolos, very, very exalted people. V'kol ha-Madregas ha-eluk shurim l'chelek ha-pchisas. And people like us can't understand that even tzaddikim like this, who were so great and who were so exalted, nevertheless, in themselves, there was still something that was missing. That now, you and I, when we feel that there's something wrong with somebody, that ain't no Ruach HaKadosh. Like if we, you know, when somebody walks in, you look at the forehead and say, huh? You know, that's not Ruach HaKadosh, we're just messed up. It's not Ruach HaKadosh. Now, this was with Ruach HaKadosh, and they were crying all night. That if I see something wrong with a Jew, Gewalt, what's wrong with me? And this was Ruach HaKadosh. So the Belzerov said, when you see something wrong with another Jew, and you look down on that person. The zilzel means you look down on the person. Even if it's in such a way that you know that that person did that, and you know it, how? Do you know it? Because you have Ruach HaKadosh. You have Rebbe Abzusha. Mikomakom, nevertheless, it's a simon that is coming from something inside of you that is broken, that is missing. Even if it's in Ruach HaKadosh. But if you see that, it means that there's something wrong. If you see it, now again, and our lovely says that Belzerov said, if you see it and you look down upon the person, Im hayisi noki ma'pchisas hazeh, and you have to know that if I would be completely pure and guiltless in this area, lo hayisi roya chesreinu shel hasheni, I wouldn't see the chesreinus of the other Jew. I feel him Ruach HaKadosh, even with divine inspiration, I wouldn't see such a thing. Mizah yisayd hasheni, and this is the second yisod. Lahashrish hatev, hatev. We have to think deeply about this. It has to become part of our lives. Shekol hadan lekav chayv. That whenever you judge somebody in a negative way, kol haistaklu shel zilzul. That whole degrading way of looking at another person. That whole negative way of sizing a Jew up. Megiyim apchisus shali. It comes from something inside of me. Something inside of me that is not good. And that's the only reason I'm seeing this. Because of something inside of me that's missing. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu marli ezeh, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is showing this to me. Kidei she'asakin esatzmi, to give me the ability to fix myself. Not to be critical of the other person. Not to look down on the other person. No, there's a mitzvah to be done l'kav zchus. But if I see something wrong in another person, it's because Hashem Yisbarach is telling me that I must work on this very same inyan. I have to work on this midah. Val yidei she'asakin esatzmi, and if I am able to what? To repair what's wrong with myself, to work on it, then F.O., I will be able to bring about she'isukan gam chaveri, then I will be able, by working on myself, I will be able to help that other Jew out of his or her problem. It helps the other person out of their smallness also. Hayisoyed ha'shlishi she'debayinu, a third thing. She'kol ha'inyin shel dan l'kav chayiv, the whole inyan of judging somebody in a negative way, who kulay toes, is completely, it's a complete mistake. It's a toes. This is where we come to the issue of emes and sheker. It's a complete mistake. As I said before, that's why this mitzvah, the Torah revealed to us with the words bitzedek tishpot, judge honestly another Jew. To be an honest judge of another Jew. Ki kol masha shayfet is chaveu l'kaf chayv. Any time you judge somebody in a negative way, zetos, it's a mistake. Ze'eino betzedek, it's simply not true. So that sounds crazy. What do you mean it's not true? I know for sure it's true. So what does that mean? V'dibarnu mishtolosh mine to'uyos. We spoke in the past about three types of mistakes. Why is it that when you look at somebody negatively, it's sheker, it's a lie? Shiyochli is the three possible mistakes. One, Harishan, Shilagarbe Hakishrain is Ramatsov Mishalo. Based upon that individual's kishreinus, his own talents or his own circumstances, his own personality, and so on. V'hamatzav mishalo ani ha'isi nira harba yoisa geruah. If I would be in his predicament, I would be a lot worse than him. I'd be a lot worse. This is a personal mistake. He says, "Umeila." He says, "Ain alav shum tviya." Why should you have tainus? Why should you have a tviya? Meaning, why should you resent or why should you look down upon that person? And in other words, what you saw is something true. This person has a temper. You're not going to say that's not a temper. That's some sort of a new disorder that you know that's waiting for a name. No, he lost his temper. It's terrible. And losing a temper, it's wrong. It's not the way to live. So, it's amnes. No, that's amnes. You're not going to say that he didn't lose a temper. That's not the point. The point is the person did lose his temper. So what's the sheker? The sheker is making the connection between A, the person lost his temper, and B, he's not such a chashuv person like I thought. He's not such a good person. In other words, to begin to look at the person with eyes that are mezalzel, with negative eyes. That, Reb Tzimeya says, is sheker. Why? Because I don't know the circumstances, I don't know his own personality, I don't know what he's struggling with not to lose his temper. It could be that in this inyan, and you know, it's like that, I don't know if this ever happened to you, sometimes let's say you'll be shopping. And no, that's for sure happened to you. But sometimes you'll be shopping, and you'll see like a mother, angry with a kid, right? Like the kid wants an ice cream or something, and the mother's too rough, yeah. And the mother says, "Come on, it's enough all day long. You're hacking me with this, right?" And you're thinking, and your kid is that at that moment is just a mazel. That at that moment, or either you're not with the kids, or at that moment the kid is okay, and you look at this mother and you say, it's hard to believe that a Jewish mother would talk that way to a child. And even though you would never articulate such a thing, but you look at the person like, what kind of midas magunas? What kind of a mother is that? All the kid never. Children like ice cream. What are you so surprised that the child is asking for an ice cream? Don't children? And probably such a look at the child. She's so cute. She's adorable. And she, and I saw the whole time she's trying to ask for Derek Harris. But now that her mother's leaving the section of the grocery, in desperation, she wants an ice cream. It's only normal. It's 100% okay. And you think, and how could she pull the kid like that? And how could she use such a stark, such strong words when it's just a child? No, and you know that woman saw you the exact same way. Yesterday the roles were reversed. That you were the one that was saying, "Enough already, it's enough already, you everything with the candy, what are you, well, every single time you pass any place, I can't take you anywhere." You heard these instructions, I can't take you anywhere. But when you're not in that matzav, you look at another person like that's the worst parent. What kind of a mother is that? How do you talk? You have no patience for such an adorable... If I had such an adorable child like you, I would have infinite patience. And this is such an obvious thing. This is so partial that we do this all the time. So what he's saying is that, what do you mean? If you'd be in that matzah, you'd be worse than the person. In other words, that woman with a child could, might have... This, let's say, is already 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She could be already having... The last 8 hours are stressful. Do you know that she didn't sleep the whole night because this baby was up? The other one, God forbid, has a strep throat or an ear infection, and the husband said something not nice that morning, and then she gets a call that she's expected to have something for work ready the next day, 9 o'clock, if she can forget about. Until she's in that ice cream aisle, she could already have gone. She's already been through 20 Gehenims. And you happen to have a nice day. It worked out. Everybody's quiet. The kids went to school. Everybody slept. And it's a Machaya. And you walk like a mensch. You're going shopping. And you're dressed nice. And everything's okay. A Machaya. So now you look at this person. If you would be in that person's matzav, not only that, it could be that the person has Bechlal, an unhappy an unhappy childhood. It could be the person's marriage is broken, and there are all kinds of worries. It could be that that person's mother, she got a call that the mother's in the hospital. Who knows? These are not far fetched things. We're not talking about when most of the thing. Oh, I'm supposed to look out scores that you know that right before they came to the grocery, like the kid you know slapped the mother, and that's why she's angry. You don't have to come on to any of that. That's not the point. The point is that the emes is that you're making a mistake. You're pushing making a mistake. And if you would be in that matziv, that's what he's saying. If you would have that person's personality and the matzavim shalo and his circumstances, I would be worse than the mother, than that mother. I mean, even though it's true, she's yelling at the child, and it's not nice, and stuff. Because the kid just is a kid, so be it. They ask for nice. That's emes. But what he's saying is that the emes is kula sheker. You understand that the emes is sheker, because emes, even though it's emes that right now in the grocery store at this moment that this is inappropriate behavior. But for you to look with eyes that are mezalzel, that's the point. No one's saying it's not true that there's wrong to yell at a kid. But that you are judging lekaf chayv, that you judge the person negatively, that's sheker. That's a toast, it's a mistake. That's the first thing. Hatos hasheni, the second mistake. Shelegabe ma'aloisav zeklum. In comparison to the mindless of the person, let's go back to the woman in the grocery. So she's having a hard day, whatever it is, and she lost a little bit of control. Do you know the mindless of that person? Do you know? Can you say whether or not you give as much love as she gives to the child? In other words, you don't know her mindless. And very often you do know the person's milas. You know some of the milas. Milas meaning the good qualities. You don't know that person's milas. Allah has come of a kama with people that you do know, and you know much about their wonderful milas. So what he's saying here is that in comparison to that person's milas, these few chesroinis, a couple of bad minutes, it's bottle, it's like it's nullified in all of the good of that person. The thing is that at that moment, you don't know what's good about that person, or all that you see is what's wrong this moment. All that you see. You can have a person, you have two people that are married, they could be married 30, 40 years, and 30, 40 years with this person is constantly going mechsadim, unbelievable chesed, unbelievable good things that this person does for you, and the milas, the wonderful milas of that person. But at the moment when something is not the way that you like, you the nature of a person is to touch up, to sum up, to define that person based upon that moment that's negative. And that's a mistake. It's partially a mistake of how to judge another person because of a moment that's out of character, as opposed to all of the mindless that person has, the wonderful characteristics, the wonderful, wonderful things about that person. And if you don't know the person, why shouldn't you assume that mother in the grocery, why shouldn't you assume that she's a gewaltige person, that she's doing terrific things for her family, for other people? Why shouldn't you assume that? So it's a toast, it's a mistake. The toes are shlishi, the third mistake. Shehiya toes haikaris. This is the main mistake. Sheruba deruba shaladavarim hemechlal loiches rhymes. The Tzimeya says that ruba deruba, the vast majority of cases, it's not even a chisaron at all that you see. In other words, what you're watching is not even a chisaron. It's not even something that's a deficiency. And if I would know all of the details of the Maisa, and if I would know all of the things that are surrounding that moment when the person, let's say, lost it, or something negative happened, if I would know all the Pratim, Hayinu Rayim Shiz Bechlal Lo Yichisar. I wouldn't see that it's Bechlal Yichisar. Ela Adarav Marlis. So the lady in the grocery, there's a very, very good possibility that that child needed a little bit of a chayzik yad, a little bit of discipline at that moment. And your way of looking at it is negative. It could be. There's a very strong likelihood, ruba de ruba, that it's not a chisor at all. That what the person is doing is something that has been in the making, and is something that is necessary. And it might not be your way of doing it, and we're going to talk a lot about that. The reason, as we're going to see in the next paragraph, that very often we judge people negatively is because people have different ways than we have. And we're going to learn about that. A person could judge it the same way that, you know, that some people like the stuffed cabbage sweet, and some people like it that's not sweet. Some people like it tzimis with raisins, and some people like it tzimis without raisins. So the nature of a person is, if that's when it comes to tzimis, certainly when it comes to other people. So we have a way, especially when it comes to parenting. When you see something in another person, so if that's not the way that you conduct yourself in the home, you have a natural inclination to look at that person as someone that's not a good parent. Why? Because by us, we didn't do it in this way. And by my mother didn't do it in this way. No, so who's to say that your mother is the professor of all parenting? Could be that it's a different halach. You have a different way. We're going to talk about that. So what he says here is Ruba, the vast majority of cases of Bechlal, it's not a chisar. It's not even a chisar. It's not even a chisar. Nishtadl hayom l'dabir bez Hashem Yisbarach ma'oid yisod shenichlel ba'atos ha'shlishi. Now, he says, we're going to focus in this discussion on this third, mostly on this third nekuda, this third point. Shetzadikim schusim yagein aleim. Barum ha'oid. He uses this term often. They were burning with this issue. Shezeh echad ha'yesaydah shal Yehudi mamish. That this is one of the yesaydahs, this is one of the most fundamental things in Bechlal and being a Jew. That's why it affects the way that you daven, the way that you learn, the way you keep Shabbos, the way you keep all mitzvahs. V'kosher ma'oid ma'oid lo'yme b'ktsar ha'yesayd. It's very difficult to speak about this in a brief way. Especially, I didn't really have time to prepare. I want to speak a little bit about this. We're going to learn practical things about how to improve in this area, and how by improving in this area, it's going to help all of our avodas Hashem. And then we're going to learn how Shabbos can help us improve in this area. Shabbos, which is completely lichtig, Shabbos where everything is shining, that on Shabbos, with the power of Shabbos, we're going to learn how we can really, really improve in this. How Shabbos has the ability to purify, to cleanse our eyes. And on Shabbos, we once again are worthy to wear the garments of light that Adam and Chava wore in Gan Eden in paradise before they sinned. And when we're wearing those garments of light, and everything we look at is lichtig, is good. And therefore we come to the house and everything is good. And the children are good. And the husband is good. And the wife and the parents and the chaveim and the shul. And everything is lichtig. Everything is good. And during the week when there's a darkness, we see things in a negative way. But Shabbos, we can see the truth. When you live Shabbos the right way, you can begin to see the greatness, the holiness, the sweetness of a Jew. And that's why Rabbi say it's a particular Yetzirah to get into fights on Shabbos. I don't know if any of you ever noticed that. It says in the Svarim, and some things you know just without looking in the Svarim, that Shabbos, Erev Shabbos and Shabbos, there's a Yetzirah that's crazy. Dafke not to have Shalom. On Shabbos, you think everything is good, it should be good. Shabbos, Davka, there's such a crazy Yetzer Hara. There's such a crazy Yetzer Hara to get into like the dumb arguments. Well, like, you know, someone's seeing the table and says, you know, I think that in Eretz Yisrael they should bomb this place. And the other one says, no, they shouldn't bomb this place. So they think they should bomb. No, they shouldn't bomb. And then within 10 minutes they're talking about the marriage is no good and the children are no good. And it all came from some crazy discussion that they don't know anything about. And there's no negiah. And what's the Bechlal talking about bombing on Shabbos? And one thing leads to another. And you're always arguing, you don't respect me. And then before you know it, someone walks out of the room. I'm not coming back. And then you have to figure out a way to get the person back to the table. And the children are sitting there. You go, what happened to mommy? What happened to daddy? What's going on over here? I can't really sing some mirrors, and no, this happened already 1,000 times, and mommy walked out, or daddy walked out, and the whole chagadi that makes everybody's life miserable, and that they end up telling the therapist 20 years from now. So Shabbos, because Shabbos has such an ability to bring peace, and to bring shleimus, and to bring clarity, Shabbos is so, it's so easy to have clear eyes. That's why Davke Shabbos, there's a Yetzar that comes against that. That you should see the other person Davke Shabbos in a negative way, Chas v'Shalom. So kol chaver, maschil mahagish, you're able to feel, v'li gliklich ich ben, how lucky, how fortunate I am. What? Oh, I am so lucky that I have these chaverim in shul, that these are my friends. I'm so lucky to have such a wonderful family. I'm so lucky to have a comfortable home. A person on Shabbos can see everything in such a good way. I'm so glicklich, I'm so fortunate that I met this person, that I'm able to have a chaver like this. And after you see, therefore Shabbos you can get, I remember the first time that I ever spent Shabbos in Brooklyn. It was a memorable time, because that's when my wife and I were engaged, and I went for the first Shabbos to be there, and we have a lot of funny stories from that Shabbos. I stayed somewhere, and I went to the shul, and I remember, and this, I'm not saying that about Brooklyn, I'm sure some of you are from Brooklyn, I don't mean anything against Brooklyn, but it happened that it was in Canarsie, and there was a maisa that there was a whole scream, a crazy fight was going on, and it was the middle of davening, and it was Minchas Shabbos. Everybody went running into the hallway, and Nebuch, there was an alti yid that was choking another old Jew. They were at each other's throat, and they were screaming and hitting each other, and the rabbi and everybody was trying to pull them apart, and it was all about what, because the other one said that, because one of them was paying for shalosh shudas, and the other one said, you're so cheap, when I make shalosh shudas I get two types of herring and you only get pickled herring. I'm telling, the whole shul was listening, and I get schmaltz and you're such a cheapskate, and you're doing this for the last 60 years, you only get pickled herring. And the other one says, you called me a cheapskate? And he says, yeah. And they're going at it. Mamash on the staircase. Two alti yidin, two old people who otherwise are the most dignified chashuva people. There's such a crazy Yetzirah to get meshuga on Shabbos. To get meshuga. To lose everything. Because there's so much at stake on Shabbos. Because Shabbos has such a koyach to bring people together. Shabbos is the oisiyas sheves achem gan yachad, for Jews to sit together. If we knew what Shabbos at the table, what it could be pearl, how it could change our lives. If we knew that all the memories that a child has, all the memories that carry a child through difficult times in life, are the memories of the Shabbos table, are the memories of coming home on a Friday night, and that there should be shalom. And many, many times I've mentioned in shul to my father, my mother never talks about the war, but my father told me many, many times that even though they say in some of the books that when they would lie there at night at the end of the day in concentration camp, when they didn't have beds, they were on those planks, and they were so tzebrochim from the whole day, and when they would lie there, so it says in some books they would talk over Gemaras and Mishnayos. My father said, you know, I don't remember hearing too much like Mishnayos and Gemara. We were so totally tzebrochim. He says there were occasionally, mostly we were talking about my mother's kugel is better than your mother's kugel. And your mother used pepper. Ooh, yeah. I know what you mean. It's talking, you know, it was good. They used to talk about, my father said, this is how they would go to sleep at night, about Shabbos. Everything was Shabbos. They would talk about Rosh Hashanah and the special things that were around the Yontiv, and what was like Purim and their shtetl. And in our town, the Rav said this Purim, and we had the play. And everything was those memories of Shabbos, of Yontiv, that my father said, the mamish kept them alive. That kept them alive. That they could feel the time of Shabbos. And we have to learn how, to use Shabbos in a way to what? To help us see things in the right way. not like they say, lahavul, to put a positive spin. See, a positive spin, that whole lashnik that became popular during the last administration, because the whole administration was based on sheker and on ugliness, so they were always putting a spin. And they had that whole lashnik, this, you know, the spin masters in Washington and these people that were doing... It's not a positive spin means that really, really, it's bad, and I'm going to have to make up a lie to twist it around to make it look like it's good. So that's not what we're talking about, Chas v'Shalom. When a Jew really, really, when a Jew really lives with Shabbos, then you begin to see the emes. Shabbos is the emes, and you begin to see the truth. It says, Chazal say that even in Am Haaretz, that even in Am Haaretz, even the simplest Jew who's unlearned, who's ignorant, on Shabbos you can't lie. Shabbos, you're taught to lie on Shabbos, because Shabbos is emes. On Shabbos you can't lie. So on Shabbos you can see things in an emesdika way, in a real way, in a true way. And the truth is that the children are so lichtig, and the wife is so good, and the husband is so good. And you know there are many, many stories like this about Lamavot Tzadikim. And I'm just going to remind you there, you know, Reb Shlomo all over Shalom used to tell a lot of stories like this. He did a lot of editing and changing Reb Shlomo in some of those stories. But the stories are based upon facts. Some of you might have heard the story from him, Shratza Wolf. You remember that story, Shratza? Okay, it's a famous Maisa. But what they have in common, the Maisa with Lamavot Tzadikim, there is an emistiker, famous Maisa. And maybe we'll just end with this maisa. There was a maisa. I'll be missing a couple of the pratim. It's a long time. So, but the maisa was, you know, the Baal Shem HaKadosh would sometimes have in his head to go to certain places, and he would take along some of the chassidim, and he would only find out afterwards, like, why did Hashem send me there? So there was a maisa that the Baal Shem HaKadosh took some of the chassidim for Shabbos, that we have to go someplace, and they came. The chassidim went, and they asked, where are we going? The rabbi said, Baal Shem says, I don't know. But when I get there, I'll know. And they were going, and they came to this place. Without going into all the details, the Baal Shem said, this is where we have to stay for Shabbos. And it was a horrible, disgusting place. A broken down, miserable place. And they knocked on the door. And the person that answered the door was screaming and yelling, "Who are you, chutzpah, coming to me before Shabbos?" And the Baal Shem Tov said, "Can we stay here for Shabbos?" And it was a whole thing. And they couldn't figure out, and the whole Shabbos was disgusting. And he said, "You could stay here, but I don't want to hear a word of Torah from you, and I don't want to hear, there's no Zemir." It was very bad. And you understand that we don't know what that's like, because the Baal Shem Tov Shabbos, we can't understand what the Baal Shem Tov Shabbos was normally like. So the whole Shabbos was ruined. And the Chassidim couldn't believe that the Baal Shem Tov took them to such a crazy place. Anyway, it was already getting very late, and the Baal Shem Tov still said to the Chassidim, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happened here." They had no place to daven even in the minyan. It was just terrible. So what happened was that Shabbos was already ending; it was almost over. And the wife came over there and said to the Baal Shem HaKadosh, "Rabbi, do you recognize me?" So Baal Shem looked at her and said, "No, I don't remember." So she said, "Don't you remember that there was a little girl, a Yesayim, an orphan, many, many years ago, many, many years ago, that you were kind enough to take into your house? I spent by you, whatever it was, a few months. Do you remember that?" And the Baal Shem Tov says, "Whatever, oh, you're Rivkila, the little girl, sure. Yeah, how are you? Have you been?" And, you know, "Whoa, what's going on over here? What is this? Like, you know, I'm sorry, like you fell in somehow. I don't know what this is." So she said, "Look," she said, "you remember when I was by you, so you know that I didn't have any parents, and that your wife, the Rebbetzin, she should be well, would take care of me, and she would comb my hair and take out the knots." They were doing that then also. And take out the knots and take out a couple of other things that would get into the hair, right? And the Rebbetzin was doing that, and she was a little bit rough. It was her way to be a little bit rough, and I was crying. And you, Rebbe, you sat there, and you heard me crying, and you were looking in the Gemara, and you didn't help. You didn't tell her to take it easy. You didn't come to help me. So you should know that as a result of that, a decree was passed in Shemayim that you lost your Olam Haba, you lost the coming world because of that. So, let me just tell you, Rebbe, that I was very brokenhearted about that. Now, subsequently, I met and I married one of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. And at that point, her husband walked in, the same one that looked like an animal that answered the door Friday, walked in. He looked like the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur Mamash. He was the most beautiful Jew the Baal Shem Tov ever saw. And he said, this is my husband. And all the years it was breaking my heart that you were so good to me that why should you lose your Olam Haba because of me. So I davened, and my husband and I, we davened very strongly. And Hashem Yisroel Baruch told us that we'll have an opportunity to give the Baal Shem Tov back his Olam Haba if we ruin one of his Shabbos. That will be the payment. Because Rebbe, your Shabbos is like Olam Haba. So so Hashem Yisroel Baruch worked out that you'd be able to come here, and that we'd give you a horrible Shabbos, and that you wouldn't have Torah, you wouldn't have Tefillah, you wouldn't have Mikveh, you wouldn't have a minyan, and you'd be Tzibroch without Zmiris, and without that, so your Olam Haba was able to be given back to you. And then she invited with her husband, the Baal Shem Tov, to come next door, where they really lived, which was an unbelievable palace. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that he can't stay over that Torah till Mashiach comes, that he heard by Milav HaMalkin, by the Lama Vav Tzadik and the wife. So the Baal Shem HaKadosh, other tzaddikim explained that as long as there was something missing the Baal Shem HaKadosh on his level, we're not even allowed to try to imagine what that was, but on his level, as long as something was missing the Baal Shem HaKadosh, he didn't see her as being someone beautiful. He didn't see the husband as being anything other than an animal. He didn't see the children as being anything except, filthy little spoiled kids. He didn't even see the house as being any place that's livable. He couldn't see any of that. And that's the Baal Shem Tov and his Madrega. Could you imagine? And then once this tikkun was finished, and Shabbos was over, and it was fixed, then she was as beautiful as Esther Malka, and he was the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, and the children were Mamish's most beautiful children. That means that when we understand that, that's what we're learning these days. When we see something that's wrong, that's ugly, and we judge it in such a way, and we put down, it's a simon that the tikkun within ourselves hasn't taken place, and therefore we look at everything in a dark way, and the eyes are eyes that see things in a negative way, in a dark way, and all we see around us is that the children are no good, the wife's no good, the husband's no good, the rebbe's no good, the shul's no good, and the friends are no good, and you have people that go kiseda all their lives looking down and saying things, and even if they tell you a nice word, it's not sincere, it's not good, it's not emes, it's not coming from a real place, it's coming from just to try to get to be a friend of yours, but it's not the emes. So we're going to learn a lot about how practically we could go about seeing things in a different way, in a more lichtiger way, so it's going to help us in mitzvah shem, in everything, and especially in our simcha, in our observance of Shabbos Kodesh. Now I understand that this is not simple, and there are probably many things that you're wondering about and thinking about, but we have to learn through the Indian much, much more. This was just an introduction. And then you really have questions. So Mr. Shem, we'll be back here next Tuesday night. And Mr. Shem, everybody should all be well. We should be in Yerushalayim, but if not, this is a good place to be.